Good morning, Covenant. I'm really glad to be here this morning, and I want to go into one little story of the New Testament, which is given to us in Mark chapter 10. If we can get that on the screen, and I will read it from my Bible. Mark chapter 10, and I read from verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." I want to stop reading here. And I would like to condense this version in the Wilfred Hahn condensed version. A man comes to Jesus and asks, "How do I find my way to heaven?" And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and get rid of all those things that may distract you." Now I want to make a big jump into something obviously different or seemingly different, but I want to come back to this story and you may feel it and see it step by step. I've followed up a lot of church discussions about actual questions. In the past, there was that question of the charismatic movement. There was, not too long ago, the question about COVID. Is it good to get the vaccination or not? I know of churches who've been divided by that question. And right now, it seems that many churches and many Christians are discussing the problems around LGBTQ. Following all these discussions, I came to the conviction that I can boil all these things down to two questions. Question number one, what is your image of God? Is your image of God the image of a loving, forgiving Father? I don't want to deal with that today because Pastor John did that for many weeks earlier this year. So I want to come to question two. What is your view of the Bible? Do you know that? Are you able to clearly say, hey, this is what I think of the Bible? There is a wide range of understanding. There is, let me say, to the far left, to the liberal side, there are those who say the Bible is just an old collection of myth and fairy tales. I think that view doesn't affect us too much, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. But there is the far right, the conservative or fundamentalistic view of the Bible. And they say the Bible from A to Z is God's word. It is holy. It's infallible. It's accurate in every way. We can find biblical principles for every question of our daily life, and it's all we need. Now, I have to say, the Bible itself doesn't claim to be holy. The Bible itself doesn't claim to be just the pure word of God. The Bible itself doesn't claim to be infallible. The opposite seems to be the case. The third gospel that we have in the New Testament is from Luke. And Luke writes an introduction in Luke chapter 1 to his gospel. And he says, and I say this with my words, "Hey, I am not an eyewitness. I came to Jesus after Jesus was dead and resurrected. I'm a follower since then. But I have talked to eyewitnesses, and I have collected and I have selected what they told me. And I have written it down so that you may be strengthened in your faith." If I would say this with my words, there's a lot of human factor in it. And there is another big human factor that I see in the Bible. If I take the Psalms, especially Psalm 23, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If this is not a genuine expression of a human believer, would that psalm mean so much to me? Doesn't that psalm just mean so much to us because we know this is coming from a human believer? And we can follow what David experienced. We can experience the Lord as our shepherd as well as he did. Isn't that way more than thinking, "Oh, David just heard it from God and wrote it down"? Do you understand me? Are you with me? I think there is quite a human factor in the Bible. Now, let me just say this to the human factor. There is a book of Proverbs. There is the Song of Songs. There is a book of Job, all full of human experience. And there is Jeremiah's Lamentations. And let me say, there is a lot of humanness revealed to us in these books. Now, I don't want to go on with saying what the Bible is not. I want to find a positive comparison. And I'm so glad I found something, an analogy from John Wesley. Can we get the quote? John Wesley was saying, "I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. How to land safe on that happy shore. God himself was condescended to teach me the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book." Now, saying it with my words, John Wesley says the Bible is our roadmap to heaven. Now, I was carrying this with me today. I hope you may understand what it is and know what it is. It's a famous road atlas from Rand McNally over all the roads that you can find in North America. I've traveled with this quite a bit. It brought me to all the way up north to Cochrane, all the way south to Miami, all the way west to the Pacific Ocean, and to the east to Long Island and Quebec City. And I found it absolutely trustworthy. Now, you younger folks may say, "Hey, Wilfred, you are old-fashioned. Nowadays, we use GPS." I use GPS too. But let me tell you that no matter what brand or make or model of GPS you use, they are all based on roadmaps. So let me talk about the roadmap. I found my roadmaps absolutely trustworthy. Are they accurate into every detail? Not at all. How can I say they are trustworthy when I say they are not accurate? Oh, I can tell you, there are two reasons. First of all, a roadmap is a two-dimensional projection on rectangular paper of a three-dimensional spheric world. Any projection of our world into a map has to have one prioritized dimension, and the rest may not be absolutely accurate. Maybe you have seen world maps like rolled out, and you see on the bottom, you see it's all Antarctica. Man, is that a huge continent on those maps? That is not true, because this roadmap has another thing which it follows first. And on these maps, you will find, although on a globe or on planet Earth, all lines going directly north-south, they all meet in two points, North Pole and South Pole. But on those maps, they are parallels, and parallels, by definition, never meet. So any projection makes certain mistakes. The question is, what's the most important to show correct, and then the rest follows into place? And the second reason why these roadmaps cannot be absolutely correct, they have a purpose. And what's the purpose? The purpose is to show me the roads. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. I did it. I took some measuring tape and measured the widths of the roads in the map. About 1 millimeter. Now the scale, 1 to 250,000, means 1 millimeter in the map is 250,000 millimeters in reality, and that's equal 250 meters for all those who don't want to calculate that. But a two-lane highway that we all use around here, like County 6 or whatever it is, a two-lane highway is never much wider than 10 meters. So the roadmaps are exaggerating for 25 times what the real widths of the roads are. Why are they doing it? The purpose is that I can see the road in the map, because if it was to the real dimension, it would be such a fine line, I would have trouble to find it with a magnifying glass. And imagine you're sitting in the driving car. The driver doesn't read the map, it's a passenger. But driving or sitting in the moving car and reading a map, and the line is so fine that you cannot find it, it's worthless. That's why that's exaggerating. The other thing is, if you ever look at the little villages or towns that are mentioned in a roadmap, they are absolutely round black circles. Have you ever seen a village or a little town with an absolutely round outer border? I haven't. I think I'm old enough, I should have met one, if there was one existing. But that's not the purpose of these maps. The purpose is not to make a survey so that I can build a house. The purpose is to show me the road from A to B so that I find my way. Now, you probably can imagine, if I compare the road maps with the Bible has a purpose. And the purpose of the Bible is to show me the way from here to God. And by following that purpose, the Bible doesn't have to be correct in every detail. It's not necessary. It can be exaggerating in certain spots and leave certain things behind. Is it necessary that all the genealogies in Genesis are complete? See, if we go to calculate human history by Genesis, we will come to somewhere 6,000-7,000 years. I haven't done it recently. And that's all for human history. If we follow certain scientific hints, we may say human history might be a wee bit older, maybe like 10,000 years or so, but it's unimportant. The purpose of the Bible is not to be a history book. It wants to show me the way. Let's go back to the analogy, to the roadmap. Is a roadmap all that I need? It may be all I need to go from A to B. But if I plan a trip, let me say to Chicago, my wife and I, we love the city of Chicago. The roadmap can show me the way to Chicago, or the GPS can show me the way to Chicago. But where to stay in Chicago, what sightseeing to do in Chicago, what not, that's not in the roadmap. I need other guides for that. And so, coming back to the Bible, is a Bible all I need? I don't think so. I think we should have certain other books accompanying the Bible. First of all, if you want to read the Bible in the original languages, you need some language science books. I can tell you, Greek is halfway understandable for modern people, but Hebrew is very, very tricky. So don't try it. But we need these books. We need books about culture and history to understand the Bible. We need modern song books. See, the Bible contains quite a chapter of songs. The Psalms are the Old Testament songs. Do we sing these songs? No, not really. We have other songs. And we love them, and they are very helpful to us. There are Sundays, I have to say, I come here, and what speaks most to me sometimes is the music. And that's okay, I think. Pastor John, we can discuss that later. Sometimes these songs are so important to me. So I don't want to miss that. I have read books about prayer. I have read books about biographies, finding how other believers managed their way through daily problems. That's very helpful. So that's why I would say, yeah, let's have things on the side. Let's read the Bible, but let's have things on the side. Mark 10, how do I find my way to heaven? How do I find my way to another town? I assume all of you have been, or at least heard, or whatever, seen of North Bay. And let's assume I have to go, right after the service, I have to go to North Bay. I'm needed there, whatever. So what can I do? I can look into my map and find out, hey, there are two possible ways. I can go using the 400 north for a bit, crossing over to the 11 and then going all the way up north, or I can go right away from here to Orillia, taking the 11 up north. Okay. That means if I want to be in North Bay as soon as I can, taking the road via Orillia, I don't make a stop in Orillia. If you know Orillia, I love Mariposa Market. Oh, their coffee, their baking goods, But I don't make that stop because I want to go to North Bay. And I don't make a stop in Huntsville. Have you ever been on that beautiful lookout over Huntsville? It's amazing. But I don't do that because I want to go to North Bay. And I have to say, I even don't stop at Camp Kakwa because I want to go to North Bay. And if I take the other road, I don't go to Parry Sound. The island queen might be inviting as much as it can. I won't go there. Now, is the reverse true as well? By not going to Mariposa Market, not going to the lookout at Huntsville, will I arrive in North Bay? No. It doesn't mean necessarily by not going to these places that I arrive in North Bay. I can arrive everywhere in this country except for Parry Sound or Huntsville. Avoiding certain things doesn't bring me necessarily to my goal. And that's exactly what this young man in some other parallel gospels, it's called a young man who came to Jesus. What this young man said to Jesus, when Jesus said, oh, keep the commandments. He said, it's fine to keep the commandments, but that doesn't bring me to heaven. We can produce biblical principles. We can produce a biblical moral. We can produce whatever. That doesn't bring us to heaven. That may help us when we are focused to go to heaven and know the way to heaven. It may help us not to be distracted. But the other way around doesn't work. What does Jesus say to this man? What brings him to heaven? He says, follow me. So what do we need the Bible for? We need the Bible to find Jesus, to find what he said, what he taught, what he asked us to do so that we follow him. That's what the Bible is important for. Let us read the Bible this way and use it this way as a wonderful tool given to us. Tools are there for working. We don't celebrate tools. We don't worship them. We don't worship the Bible. We want to worship God. But we want to use the Bible to find our way how to follow Jesus. And that is my prayer, that we read the Bible, that we understand it the way that we can follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've given us this book, the Bible, that we can read and learn from Jesus. Let us see how we can follow him. Open our eyes, open our hearts to do this with all our heart, that we love to follow Jesus and to be his disciples. In his precious name I pray. Amen.